Wow, Linda Perkins, we almost had a fanfare there. Good morning, everybody. I hope you're safe and warm and not having to do too much plowing around in the ice and snow. It's time for Food Talk.
Yay!
I'm Marianne Myers, and I am joined, as always, by my fabulous co-host, Linda Perkins. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning, Marianne.
We made it here.
I know. I don't have my apron on.
Well, you know.
I was looking for my apron, you know, the one that has the snow shovels on it? And then I remembered I didn't have an apron with snow shovels on it.
So.
And then I didn't get any farther than that.
Never mind. Oh, my gosh. Well, we're here. I'm pretty happy about it, and I'm hoping everybody out there is being careful.
Yeah. We drove in, and it was snowing, and then now, it's stopped. But then the weather for Astoria says it's supposed to start snowing at 10 o'clock when the show ends, and so I'm taking it a little personal.
Oh, my gosh. It's good cooking weather.
Yeah, that's for sure. You want the oven on.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Just so you can stand in front of it, put your hands in it occasionally.
Yeah, exactly. Yipes. What have you been cooking?
Well, I made some chili.
Oh.
So the New York Times had a recipe recently, like in the last couple of days, well, in the last week, and it's called Firehouse Chili Gumbo.
And I saw that. Sam Sifton wrote about it.
Yes,
yeah.
And he said that it was the chili that won the Firefighters National Chili Cook-Off. So it's going to not suck, right?
So yeah. One can only hope.
Yeah, yeah. So I tried it, but and it was good. It was a little sweet. And you know what? I if you read the comments, 9 out of 10 of them say it's too sweet.
Okay.
But there's ketchup in it, and I think that's why.
Yeah, of course. Ketchup is seriously
really sugary.
Sweet.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. So it's a chili where you brown your meat and mix a bunch of spices and leave that off to the side. And then you make a gumbo, what do you call it?
Like roux?
Yeah. So it's that kind of gumbo one where you just stir it and stir it forever, like 10 to 15 minutes, which is just so long.
Because you want it to be dark, dark, dark.
Yes. And I just don't think that added very much to the chili.
Uh-huh.
I think that was a lot of extra work that just didn't need to be done. I think that the chili would have been just fine if I did like I normally do, which is brown the meat and then, you know, sweat the vegetables and then put everything else in there and make the chili. I think that the gumbo part of it was unnecessary and that the chili was a little snotty because of it. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And it wasn't a lot. It was just, you know, it was 3 pounds of ground beef and then just 2 tablespoons of flour.
Holy
and 3 tablespoons
moly.
Of fat. So it wasn't a lot at all. And so I really don't think it would be missed and it would cut the cook time, not the cook time, but the time that you're actually doing work, more than half. Well, half, which is great, you know.
Yeah.
So anyway, it had good flavor, except it was a little sweet. So if anybody makes it, just, you know, do like a third of a cup of ketchup instead of a cup.
Or just use tomato paste instead.
There's a lot of tomato paste in it.
Is it?
There's 2 6-ounce cans, which
Holy
is a
cow.
Lot for
well,
something with only 3 pounds of meat and hardly any sauce, you
yeah.
know. So. And so all that, the tomato-y stuff made it thick, and with the gumbo, that I think made it a little snotty. But the flavor was good, and it didn't have beans, so I think I'll stick what's left. I'm going to put some beans in, and I think we're going to have chili dogs.
Ooh, yum.
Yeah, which sounds really good. And it's the kind of, it with all the ketchup in it, with a whole cup of ketchup, it tasted more like Sloppy Joe.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And it was that consistency, too, so we could do that. Or I think chili dogs sounds good. I got some good hot dogs at that one of those meat markets in Longview, you know.
Yeah. I think that, like, all of that winter stuff that you cook a vat of, you know what I mean?
Yes, yes.
is so cool to be able to morph into other things. Yeah, I was thinking about it this morning because I had made a big pot of soup that was then stew, you know, and then it was shepherd's pie kind of thing with some used mashed potatoes on top.
I love that used.
Yeah. I mean, it can just keep going, you know, and that's a really lovely thing. It's a way to have the warmth of cooking without actually cooking, once you've done it once, yeah, you know, then you're just like rearranging the furniture and warming it up again. I love the
furniture. I mean, I am so into batch cooking and sticking stuff in the freezer and being able to pull it out later.
Yeah.
That's just my modus operandi. I just don't want to do that much work every day, you know?
Yeah.
That's, seriously.
Yeah, really.
And I think if you just do the, well, there's a couple of people I know who are fine with it, but if you do that much work every day, I think you risk burnout.
I think you, if even if you're not discouraged about the physical effort, just running out of a plan, ideas, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's that's a thing for me.
Yeah.
I just run out of, you know, it's time to fix something, and I'm like standing in front of an open refrigerator going, what?
Yeah. And I think people that don't like leftovers, they really just don't like having something two times in a row. Yeah. And then if you stick it in the freezer and you have it a couple weeks later, it's something new, you know?
Yeah.
It's not in a row.
Yeah. Or if you can just make it, you know, add a couple things and have it, you know,
be shepherd's pie.
Have it change into a new outfit, then you could probably have it two nights in a row.
In our house, it's wontons. Well, I haven't done that in quite a while, but in my life in the past, it's always been wontons. Just whatever you make that's Asian, you just put it through the grinder and stick it in a wonton, add some Szechuan sauce, and poof.
Dinner.
What is it? It's pork and chicken, shrimp, and beef. Oh. I don't know what it is.
Oh, I tried really hard to ruin my fabulous new oven. You know, I talked to you, I think, in a previous show about getting having to replace a toaster oven. And I got this countertop. It's a toaster oven, but it does tricks.
It's fancier.
Yeah, it's fancy.
It's from this millennium.
And I tried really hard to ruin it.
What did you do?
Well, I wanted to roast a bunch of veggies, and there's only two of us, so there, I don't need a sheet pan full of roast veg. So I used the baking tray that came with the thing, and I roasted off a ton of tomatoes and then bell peppers for this thing that I like to have lots of in the fridge. And it just smoked and spit and generally made my kitchen for the first time ever. I know that you have a thing about not having cooking smells in your house, because you and I both have a kitchen that's pretty much part of the living room.
Yeah,
but I don't mind having cooking smells in the house, but burning olive oil is really not good. I had to open windows and turn on fans and scrub the entire inside, and it's really almost impossible to get all of burned on oil off. You know what I mean?
Well, it's just so adhesive.
Yeah. So, and I was, and I've, it's fine. It didn't break, and it's finally stopped smelling like I did something bad every time I turned the oven on. But, you know, I'm going to have that enamel coating on certain parts of it inside. You know how you scorch oil and then it gets like enamel. I mean, bakes on and you can never get it off, and it's not going to be shiny anymore.
Well, and they have like professional type things that are specifically aimed at that. But then you never know if that's going to poison everything you cook in there afterwards.
Yeah,
you know?
I don't want to do that. And so I just was using, just soap and water.
Yeah.
The thing that you can't really do very assertively under those circumstances is the actual heating elements, you know. I don't want to mess with them.
No,
So it just had to burn off.
Why do you think it was so violent? Why do you think it was so angry?
I think it's just, you know, I had like a half on the little tray that came with it. It's a big thing compared to my previous toaster oven, which held like two slices of bread. I had a tray with like six bell peppers on it.
Okay.
And I had, you know, coated them with some olive oil. And I know that in the future, if I want to actually roast veg in there, I probably shouldn't oil it.
Okay.
I probably should just roast it.
Okay.
But I also will roast in my regular oven that kind of stuff again.
Because
that was crazy.
Yeah, because I never get any kind of angry response in my regular oven, but I don't have a toaster oven.
No, I think it's just too close to the element, you know
what
I mean?
Okay, yeah, that could be.
Not enough distance.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I'm sorry.
It was stinky and annoying and also my shiny thing. Anyway, it was fine. What else have you been cooking?
Well, I've been thinking about cheesecake crusts.
Really?
I know. Well, I bought this book. It's in French. It's a book about flan. Oh. But I think that that might be more of a cheesecake type thing, reading the recipes. And they have all these different crusts in there. And I thought that it was interesting. I thought what the book was about is that they put their flans in crusts, which would be really good, you know?
Yeah, it would.
And anyway, but I think what it is it's just more like a cheesecake, this European French flan. So anyway, they have so many different crusts. And I thought, oh, you know, I always just do the graham cracker one. And I make a smoked cheesecake. A smoked salmon cheesecake that's savory. And then I just take, you know, like Ritz crackers and mash them up just like you would graham crackers. But there's so many different crusts, lots of different nuts that they use and different cookies and stuff. And so I'm kind of excited about that.
I've made several times ginger snap crust, and that's really good for certain things like lemon and cranberry.
Oh, nice.
That kind of thing.
Ooh, cranberry.
And I have seen... I have seen people use, I'm trying to think, Biscoff cookies.
Yes, that was one of them. Yeah, I think they're really popular in Europe.
Yeah, they're delicious cookies. They're, I think, Alison Roman always says Biscoff's a lot sweeter, and it is a cookie, but I don't think it's that much sweeter than a graham cracker, which is also sweet.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, you just don't have to add much sugar to the... to the mix. But yeah, so have you experimented?
No, because the book itself calls for everything for this really weird size pan.
Oh.
And so I am trying to find one of those. I don't know why it's so hard if the whole book is written around them.
You would think that
would... on the internet there'd be one. But the only one I found was at like a fake site.
Oh my gosh.
I know. It was like a fake restaurant supply site. And every review had one star. They're not going to deliver this. They're just going to take your money. And then they're going to ask for more money. And
So
that was a shame. I did see something cool on the internet, though. It was just a little video. You know how they pop up? Good Lord. But it was something in a Middle Eastern country or Greek or something. They were Mediterranean. They were making grape leaves. But they just had this little device. So they'd lay a grape leaf down, put a little bit in there, go chick, chick, and they had the perfect grape leaf, right? Dolmades or however you say that.
Yeah, dolmas, yeah.
Yeah, and it was so cool. And I thought, wow, that's so cool. And it looked like it works so great. It wasn't like they were cutting to the done roll, you know, like, oh, here it is, all done, you know. I mean, the whole process looked really great. So then I thought, I wonder if I could do that with cabbage rolls, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Because just,
why not?
Yeah, so anyway, then I looked some more, and sure enough, they're using it to make cabbage rolls. So then I thought, okay, I'll find this thing, you know, not in this video that's not in my language. I'll find it. And so what I did is I Googled grape leaf folder because they just folded up the grape leaf rolls, you know. But there's a bug called grape leaf folder.
Oh,
isn't that
no.
like not a bug-sounding name, you know?
It's a profession. A bug with a profession.
I know. Isn't that funny? But it looks kind of grasshoppery, kind of mantis-y.
Yeah.
And it's like a bug, I guess, that they have everywhere in the world but here.
Oh.
And so I couldn't find a grape leaf folder. And so then I'm like, okay, what can I call it? Like, roller, that'll work.
Yeah.
And there's no bug called a grape leaf roller. But isn't that funny that there's a bug called a grape leaf folder? It's so funny when you get like thwarted in some really random way by the internet.
If we learn things.
Yes,
we learn new things.
Yes. But anyway, it just really looked convenient and fast and efficient. And anyway.
Yeah. I love the whole idea of that. And also cabbage rolls. Yum.
Yeah. And winter cabbage rolls.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Perfect.
Yeah.
Quickly, I want to remind everybody that Food Talk is a co-production of KMUN Community Radio and North Coast Food Web. And as always, I will tell you that you simply must go to those two websites. They're full of very cool stuff. KMUN.org, NorthCoastFoodWeb.org. Go there and be entertained and learn something.
You must. You simply must.
You simply must. And from the convenience of your own home, you don't even have to take your jammies off. Just go a wandering.
You been cooking anything besides your crematorium?
Yeah. Well, I made soup. I made
what kind of soup did you make?
Sauce. I made this is the start with something and turn it into soup, and then turn it into shepherd's pie, and then turn it into
doesn't have a name.
No,
bunch of stuff in a pot that was in the fridge.
But I had some sausage in the freezer. You know my good friend Norma Hernandez. You know her.
She hates celery.
I know, and watermelon. There's no explaining except for she's brilliant in so many ways that we forgive her for that. Yeah. But she brought me from one of her visits to Puerto Rico. She brought me this kind of sausage that she and I love to eat. When we would go to Spain and Portugal, we would always have this special dish with this sausage, and they had it in Puerto Rico. She brought it to me, and I tossed it in the freezer because she told me to wait until she had the right kind of white beans to cook it.
Okay.
And then that was a couple years ago. And
she's slow on the bean uptake.
Well, I think we both forgot. Anyway, I certainly forgot I had this sausage, and then it kind of surfaced in the freezer. And I was like, oh, I'm going to have that. And so you pull it out, you have it as sausage, and then the next day, slice it up and put every vegetable that's begging for help.
In the vegetable hospice.
Yes, into the pot with that and a bunch of other stuff and some stock.
Okay.
And make soup that was really quite lovely, and then turn it into stew and top it with leftover mashed potatoes and a little grated parm and call it
nice.
Quite shepherd's pie. any savory thing, meat or otherwise, that's in a baking pan topped with mashed potatoes is shepherd's pie. I don't care. I don't care what the shepherds say about it. That's what it is. So I did that, and I remembered that migas is a really fabulous breakfast, and I made migas.
I don't know that word. I've never heard it.
It's basically, and it might be Tex-Mex. I'm not sure that it's actually Mexican, but when we lived in Austin, it's something that I would order because it was so delicious. And anyway, it's at my house, this is what it is. You cut a corn tortilla into edible pieces and crisp it up a little bit, put it on a paper towel to drain, and then do your whatever kind of veg you're going to put in your scrambled eggs. And I just, there again is an opportunity to get rid of some veg, but I was using just onion and sweet peppers, and I didn't even have any chili peppers, but you can fix that by putting some hot sauce or whatever, salsa, in your scrambled eggs. You know what I mean? So it wasn't. And I also have some powdered habanero powder that
good Lord.
It's fabulous.
It sounds hot.
It's hot. It's hot. So just scrambled eggs, and then you toss these fried tortilla chips in as you're scrambling the eggs, and they get softened a little bit, but they stay really chewy and have crispy edges, and throw some cheese in there at the end and melt it and stir it all up, and it's just delicious.
Okay. Migas?
Migas.
Yeah. No. Yep. Never heard of it.
It's there are actual recipes for it. That isn't one. I'm sure that there's actual recipes for it that would be fabulous, but for me, it's an opportunity to do something different with a scrambled egg and also use up stuff.
Yeah. You know, when Hatch chilies, and I really like Hatch chilies when they come into season, and a lot of the places around here will have like a Hatch chili roast. Yeah. I just buy enough for the year and I stick them in the freezer, and then I'm never without them. And I really like that.
That they're such a good flavor for so many different things.
To me, they're just delicious. I just love them.
Yeah. I love roasted chilies of all kinds, and and certain kinds of things like jalapenos, which are not very hot to start with, get more assertive if you roast them. Okay. You know, if you grill them a little bit, they seem to get happier.
I love how Hatch chilies, how they can just tell. It's like a steak. You know, they'll have different bins of them. It'll be, you know, medium, hot, mild, and just that they know that about the chilies. Where it's like, you know, if you get a poblano,
poblano.
Good Lord. I was combining it for some reason with the word baloney. Thanks, brain.
Well, there's a new hybrid. We'll look forward to finding that on our grocery shelves.
But, I mean, it can be anywhere from, you know, 5,000 Scovilles to 1 zillion Scovilles. Yeah. It's always such a experiment in terror when you take that first bite.
Yeah, it is. I wanted to have a little spice in the soup that I made, and I just threw a couple of dried I have a bunch of dried chilies, and I think that the ones that I threw in might have even been just dried jalapenos. I'm not sure what they were, but I just threw them in whole. I didn't cut a slit in them. I didn't soak them. I didn't take their seeds out. I just threw them in whole, and it was easy, and it added just the right.
Okay,
just
nice.
Just the right thing. I mean, it was just a vegetable meat soup. You didn't, you know, it wasn't chili, so... Mm-hmm. That was a good way.
I've never done that. Just toss one in there.
Me either, but yeah. I was lazy.
Kind of like a bay leaf.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, you know, we've talked about bay leaves before, and you and I got some fresh bay leaves from some listener, and that was a huge gift. And I took them all off their stems and put them in the freezer, and I love having fresh bay leaves. I mean, they're still like they're a little bit leathery when they come out of the freezer, and they taste like something, they smell like something. They're just nice. I'm not going to buy dried bay leaves anymore.
Bay leaves, bay is just such a delicate, beautiful flavor.
Mm-hmm. It is. I love it. It's perfect for
especially in soup.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, perfect for soup, perfect for pasta sauce, all kinds of things.
Mm-hmm. It's always hard, though, fishing them out. I've learned, you know, like when, if I'm making something like a black bean soup, because I like to blend a little bit of it to make it thick that way, not with the snot way. Yeah. And so I'll drop an immersion blender down in there. But if I have bay leaves in there, they're their texture is just not something you want to eat.
Yeah.
Especially ground up. And so... you got to get them all out. So you got to count them, put them in, and you got to count them when you pull them out. But what happens is I think that they just become flat against the edge of the pan.
Yeah.
And so when you make a big vat of something, you're just trying and trying to find them, it's an exercise in frustration.
You know, you can maybe bundle them like you would a bouquet gardenie if they have little stems on. I don't know. Is there a way to... I haven't had the, because you're making huge quantities of things, and I'm not. So it's easy for me to find three bay leaves in a saucepan.
And mine's down a stock pot, you know?
Yeah, yeah, so, no, that would be annoying.
Can't like put your arm in, you'll burn it off.
Yeah, and also there's a lot of them in there.
Yeah. Let's see. I got something that's new.
What?
It's not going to be very exciting to anybody else, but it is to me. It's a 2 tablespoon measuring cup. So 1/8 of a cup.
Why?
I know that's stupid, but I just love it. I love it so much. Yeah. I love it so much. I ordered a second one in case it's dirty. I just love it. I just love it.
I would think that I would use that all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
Isn't every single recipe asking for 2 tablespoons of oil?
Something, I mean... And I remember when I was a baker at a coffee house, you know, some of the kids that came in later, they would like measure out dry ingredients for stuff so I could just, you know, really get going in the morning. And things were really, really off. And I found out that they were measuring out, it was like 2 2/3 cups with a 1/3 cup measuring cup.
Oh.
And so when you measure 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 of something, there's just such a chance for error, you know, I mean, for sure. And when we weighed it, it was actually like 1/3 off. And I'm like, okay, you guys, you know, you have to weigh it. And they're like, no, we like our measuring cup. And I'm like, this is like the weirdest struggle. I mean, can you see here? I've shown you, you know?
Yeah.
But, I like having things that are the measurement of what you're going to put in there. It just seems to work a lot better.
I need new measuring spoons. Yeah. I'm missing some.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Well, you know, time.
Yeah.
And inattention.
Well, and I have found that measuring cups and measuring spoons are not always right. And I didn't know that until pretty late in life.
What?
Yeah. Like they say.
I still don't know it. What?
Yeah. Especially like spoons. Like they will say that they are a tablespoon, but they're just, you know, some amount that's kind of a tablespoon.
Oh, yeah,
and that's another reason that if you're doing like 3 or 4 tablespoons, well, 3 tablespoons, then that error gets multiplied 3 times, you know?
Wow.
So.
Wow. That's alarming to me. I have parts of a variety of sets of, you know, over the years of measuring spoons. And I have a little jar of them on the counter, and I grab one when I need one. It's not always the same one. Now I'm wondering for him.
Well, and you can test it with water. You can put water in them and weigh it, because water always weighs the same.
Oh,
and you
yeah.
can't, like, it's not like flour or something, or, you know, where you can,
yeah.
it can be fluffy or compacted. You know, you can't compact water, really, unless you have some special equipment.
Heavy water.
Like a planet nearby. Doing its gravity.
That's really good advice. Now I'm going to check all my spoons. I can't believe that. I never knew that.
Well, cups for me were really off, too. So I got some at like a discount place, and that was a mistake.
Yeah.
And then I was really frustrated. Why isn't anything working? And figured it out with water.
Yipes. I do tend to like, I don't care for plastic measuring cups. I like stainless steel or glass just because I feel like it's not going to morph over time.
Yeah. And glass, I'll use it for like, you know, measuring liquids.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah.
Yay.
Well, also, as a baker, you're more at the mercy of accurate
measurements. Yes. Yeah, because I want it reproducible.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
I want to get the same thing every time.
I'm just cooking, so, you know, close close counts.
Yay, you can chew it. Yay. The bar is low.
It's pretty. Yeah, the bar was really low last night. It was like leftover spaghetti.
You're a very, very good cook.
It was. It was very... haphazard. That's the thing. And also, I find even after all this time that cooking for one or two is a challenge. There is a really good, there's probably more than one, but I happen to have one cookbook called, I think, Cooking for Two. And it's very useful to be able to make like a batch of 4 biscuits and that kind of thing. Very useful. I should be making biscuits.
It's that kind of weather.
It is totally that kind of weather.
There's something weird. I kind of feel like I'm losing my economy of movement, you know, like where you're efficient in the kitchen, just cooking for just a couple people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know. I know exactly what you mean. I'm still really efficient when it comes to setting a mise en place and that kind of thing. But actually cooking, I'm like, I can't remember how to do this.
Well, I think I'm just slowing down. It's just, I really don't know what it is, but I just don't feel like I have that economy of movement anymore. I don't feel like I am as efficient as I have been in the past. Oh, well.
Age is such an interesting thing. Interesting. I swear, like I'm decades ahead of you, and like, I can tell you it only gets to be more fun.
Like that interesting hairdo.
Yeah, right.
Aging can be interesting.
Hey, you know what? We're out of time.
No.
Yeah, we are. And so we're going to be going back out into the weather. I hope if
pray for us.
If y'all are going out into the weather, I'm not going out. I'm going to be John Stevenson this morning.
Oh, yay.
Yeah, because I'm pretty sure John is snowed in.
Joanna Stevenson.
Yeah, that's me. Do you want to sing us out?
No, I just want to tell people that when I was driving here, I did okay, but there was a lady kind of by the bay just fishtailing towards me. So just stay home for a while.
Yeah, do it. And be careful.
Be safe.
And take care of yourselves.
And don't drive your vegetables today.
We're worried about you. Stay tuned for Lost Highways.